This week, Stephen Harper's picture appeared at the top of page one on the website of the conservative Jerusalem Post. Rate PM Stephen Harper's performance. Good or could be better? Answer for a free iPod with compliance of terms and conditions. The left-of-center Haaretz ran the same ad. What's neutrality here? Harper asked on a CTV question period program. Are we neutral with regard to Hezbollah? Are we neutral on a terrorist group? I don't think the opposition wants to say that. What exactly are they saying? Are they suggesting Israel unilaterally stop defending itself or declare a unilateral ceasefire? Are they suggesting we become neutral vis-a-vis terrorist organizations that we're fighting in Afghanistan, that we're frankly fighting in this country with the arrests in Toronto? This is not a viable position. End quote. Foreign Minister Peter MacKay went a step further at the emergency meeting of the Parliamentary Committee on Foreign Affairs and International Trade. Quote, "For me," he said, "it's not a difficult choice between siding with a state, a democratically elected government, a democracy, that's being attacked by terrorists and a group of cold-blooded killers." Nothing here suggests either Harper or MacKay has any special aptitude for or even understanding of neutrality. Are we neutral with regard to Hezbollah? Harper asks. But we are not neutral with regard to one party or another in a conflict. We are neutral with regard to the conflict as a whole. If one expects to be the peacemaker, the mediator, the adjudicator, then you simply cannot choose sides. MacKay speaks specifically of the choice between siding with a state and a group of cold-blooded killers. Neutrality does not occur to him. He is a partisan, not to be trusted with neutrality. If some aspect of a conflict predisposes us to favor one side over the other, if, for instance, we own shares in the company or receive financial rewards from one side, or if we're sleeping with the husband, then we have a conflict of interest and that disqualifies us from playing a neutral role. After 15,000 Quebecers marched through the streets of Montreal, Israel's ambassador to Canada, Alan Baker, objected to what he called, quote, "incited groups of Muslims that are running around the streets on the weekends," end quote. Like MacKay, he went on to make the appeal to democracy, quote, "Any opposition party that expresses surprise at the fact that Canada, a democratic country, is supporting the right of another democratic country to defend itself really doesn't understand where they're coming from," end quote. Baker and MacKay offer the unusual position that living in a democracy must so dispose us in Israel's favor that we are disqualified from playing a neutral role in his country's conflict among Israel, Lebanon, and Hezbollah. But exactly the opposite is the case. Because we live in a democracy, we have learned to ride the same buses, eat in the same restaurants, attend the same schools and churches, and even on occasion to be governed by people who are different from us, and even more so by those whose opinions and styles of living may be offensive, even loathsome to us. A handful of Albertans were ready to separate if Canada voted Liberal again. We call upon our courts not to prejudge cases of mass murder, child sexual abuse, and all manner of objectionable fraud and wrongdoing. Neutrality is a near relative of tolerance, and democracy requires them both. Moreover, Lebanon's government is democratically elected, and Hezbollah is a legitimate political party in the parliament and the cabinet. Yet this does not appear to predispose Mr. Baker's government to any particular kindness, justice, or even communication with them. Baker expressed gratitude for Harper's pro-Israeli stand. Members of the Liberals, NDP, and Bloc have criticized the Harper government's position on the Israeli-Lebanese crisis. That's how democracy goes. Israel's ambassador to Canada has denounced Federal Liberals, Bloc Québécois, and other Quebec politicians for taking part in the pro-Lebanese rally in Montreal. Politicians attending the Montreal rally included Liberal MP Denis Coderre, who represents a downtown Montreal riding and is a supporter of Liberal leadership contender Michael Ignatieff, as well as Bloc Québécois leader Gilles Duceppe and Parti Québécois leader André Boisclair. We're seeing the leaders of opposition parties marching in Montreal under Hezbollah flags, Baker says. Hezbollah, which is an organization, a terrorist organization, that's been outlawed by Canadian law, end quote. Bloc Québécois leader Gilles Duceppe says, quote, "What I perceive is that people have no sympathy for Hezbollah. That's very clear, and we don't either." According to Duceppe, pro-Hezbollah protesters were systematically ejected from last week's demonstration in the streets of Montreal. Quote, "It is simply that Israel's counterattack is disproportionate," Duceppe says. "We see the images. Lebanon is in the process of being completely destroyed. Will that help peace? Unfortunately, Israel is in the process of making Hezbollah more popular than it was. That is a grave error," end quote. King Abdullah of Jordan, one of the only two Arab countries to have a peace treaty with Israel, observed that the fighting has caused a backlash against moderate Arab leaders and is strengthening the extremists it was intended to destroy. Hezbollah is officially listed as a terrorist organization by only six of the 192 UN member governments: Australia, Canada, Israel, the Netherlands, the UK, and the US. In particular, Brazil, with a large population of Lebanese immigrants like Canada, sees Hezbollah as a legitimate political party, and France does not list Hezbollah as a terrorist organization. Frank Dumont, president of B'nai B'rith Canada, said his group is negotiating with Canadian police forces and the federal government to ensure that the Hezbollah manifestations on the streets of Canada will not endure. End quote. In fact, few Canadians challenge the right of Israelis to protect their country. But we might reasonably question the practical effectiveness of Israel's program for countering terrorism and the wisdom of adopting this failed approach in our own country. When Harper mentions the arrests in Toronto, do we need to be relieved that he did not call in airstrikes on the offending neighborhood? Canada has a history of experience with terrorism. During the October crisis of 1970, Pierre Trudeau responded with draconian legislation, detentions, limited martial law. Tanks roamed the streets and soldiers in battle gear raided homes. But the Canadian forces did not bomb the apartment and office buildings where they thought the FLQ might be. Even here in the Kootenays is a history which I have heard senior officials from Foreign Affairs describe as terrorism. There was arson and bombing, even a school bombing and an assassination. Canada responded with massive arrests, curfews, the imprisonment of children. But there were no artillery strikes, no effort to wipe out the villages where the Sons of Freedom lived. What did eventually happen was a process of dialogue and negotiation that has continued well into this century. The notion that we don't talk to terrorists is an especially vain pose, entirely void of any useful diplomatic strategy. Israel tried it with the PLO in the 80s and only survived that folly because some courageous Israelis decided it was a law that had to be broken. Alistair Crook and Mark Perry have recently written at length to explain why the former Iraqi president, Ayad Alawi, only won 5% of the vote in the most recent election when U.S. experts had predicted a decisive victory. Why the U.S. Secretary of State was, in her own words, stunned by the Hamas landslide in the Palestinian elections, and why the State Department failed to anticipate the memorandum of understanding between Hezbollah and Lebanese Maronite leader Michel Aoun. Quote, "The U.S. and its allies overestimated Ayad Alawi's strength, were stunned by Hamas's win, and were surprised by the Aoun-Nasrallah agreement, because they don't have a clue about what's really going on in the region," end quote. The reason? In addition to Israel, there are, according to Perry and Crook, five political movements and governments in the Middle East of undeniable importance: Iran, Syria, Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Muslim Brotherhood. The governments of the West don't talk to any of them, end quote. The result is that the same people who expected dancing in the streets of Baghdad are now waiting for the Lebanese backlash against Hezbollah. it isn't happening. What is happening is unprecedented popularity for Hezbollah, an enlarged role in the region for Iran, and some very nervous moderate Arab leaders who have maintained stability in their countries by ignoring their people's demands on behalf of the Palestinians and by appeasing the Americans instead. Under Harper, Canada is choosing to isolate itself with the Israelis and the rest of the Anglosphere. These are decisions that go deeper than partisan politics. Harper is accelerating some of the worst decisions made by the disastrous Martin government and losing popularity in the process. A recent poll by Decima Research found support for the Conservatives in Quebec had dropped from 29% in May to 17% in late July, while support for the Bloc had climbed from 38% to 44%. Support for the Liberals was at 22%, the first time since the election the Liberals had polled higher than the Tories in Quebec. Is that good, or could be better? To comment or suggest a story, check the website at cjly.net/worldreport or write to Box 767, Nelson, British Columbia, Canada, V1L5R4, attention World Report. I'm Jim Terrell at Kootenai Co-op Radio. Thanks for listening.